And now today, as we continue with our studies in the Word of God, and for any who may have just tuned in, we've been examining this week some lessons from the historical book in the Old Testament called the Book of Nehemiah. And today, we come to chapter 4. Now, over this chapter, we could write these words, "The work must go on." When we studied chapter 1, I emphasized that the great lesson from that chapter was the fact that Nehemiah was an exercised man, a man whose heart was touched, realizing there was a great need. When you come to chapter 2, you find this man was a man of action. Not only was he a thinker, but he decided to put his thoughts and the exercise of his heart into action. When you come to chapter 3, he begins to involve others in the work. And I said that over chapter 3 you could write to every man his work. They were all to be working together. Now when you come to chapter 4, I should write over this chapter, "The work must go on in face of great difficulties." Before we read some verses, let us pray. Our Father, as we approach thy holy presence, we do ask that thou wilt undertake for us now by thy Holy Spirit. As we read thy word, may every listener be conscious that this is the authentic word of the eternal God. And grant that what may be said about what is written in thy word may be true to the text, that the hearts of all listeners shall be blessed today. Grant, O God, that we may be conscious that we are accountable to thee for the lives that we now live. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now then, when you come to chapter 4, if you have your Bible handy, I'll read a few verses at the beginning of the chapter. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was with him. And he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Let us pause there for a moment or two. These opening verses introduce us to the fact that wherever a work is being done for God, wherever God's people begin to work, you'll find very soon there will be opposition. Now, the opposition doesn't always come from the same quarter, and it doesn't always come in the same manner. But you can rest assured that the devil doesn't sit back and simply watch. If a work is being accomplished whereby the principles of God are being maintained, you can rest assured that the enemy will give his opposition. Now, in this chapter, first of all, we have the opposition of criticism. The enemy begins to criticize. First of all, he criticized the workmen, and then he criticized the work. We shall examine these things in a moment or two. But I'll ask you this question. When the enemy begins to criticize the workmen, and then to criticize the work that's being accomplished by the workmen, what do you do? What is the workman expected to do? Well, we'll find that when we come to verse 4. But first of all, let us look at how they criticize the workmen. At the end of verse 1, when the enemy was stirred up with great indignation, he mocked them. He mocked these people. And he said, he called them feeble Jews. What do these feeble Jews, what are they trying to do? They're so weak. They're so feeble. What is this they're endeavoring to do? Do they think they can fortify themselves? Do they think they can build a city and build a wall and be safe again? What do they expect to do? Do they expect again to commence with the religious services and make sacrifices in Jerusalem? Do they think they can make an end in a day of all that has taken place? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? In plain words, he's mocking them. And he's saying they're so weak, they're so feeble, they can't do it. They'll fail. Now remember this. The nation had failed 70 years before this. Why, the city had been destroyed. The enemy had come in like a flood. They had been taken captive. The walls were broken down to ruins. The gates were burned with fire. And the whole place was just a mess of rubbish. Now they're starting to build, and one man, you remember, was exorcised. And now he has stirred up the others that they're willing to help. And they were all willing because they said that they were ready to rise up and build. Let us rise up and build, he said at the end of chapter 2. And now when the enemy saw what they were doing and the work was commenced, they mocked them. They mocked the people. They said then they couldn't do anything. They're so weak. They're so few. They're nobodies. They're not like us at all. Now the next thing is, after ridiculing and criticizing the workmen, then they criticize the work. And one of the enemies, Tobiah the Ammonite, said, even if they do build, the work that they're performing is so weak and so feeble, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. In plain words, what they're doing is so inadequate that if a little fox came up, it could break its way through that wall. Now remember, the walls of a city were built in order to keep out the enemy and to protect those who were inside. If the walls were to be so feeble that they couldn't keep out a fox, well, wouldn't it be wasted time to work like this? And so the enemy criticized the work, the character of the work. Here are two things then we must face. First of all, the enemy criticizes the workmen and ridicules them. And then they criticize his work. Now I ask you in all fairness, my friend, if you were to be criticized as an individual, if someone criticized you and condemned you and belittled you, how would you feel? But suppose they began to criticize the work you're doing. May I suggest that many a person has given up a good work because of undue criticism, because of the harsh things and the hard things that have been said about them, they have given up. That's what the enemy was seeking to do here. Criticize, first of all, the workman, and then criticize the work. But I said to you at the beginning of our study today that over this chapter you should write this caption, "The work must go on." That's the lesson I learned from the reading of chapter 4. In spite of the opposition of the enemy, in spite of his criticism, he may criticize the workman, he may criticize the work, but the work must go on. But where do you go from this point? Well, now verse 4 gives us an idea which I trust will become a help to some who are listening today. In verse 4 it's, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." In plain words, in verses 4 and 5, we find the workmen committing themselves to God and committing their work to God and asking God to deal with their enemies. So they're committing the work to God. If it's God's work, And if a man is God's workman, all he requires to do then is follow this example and commit the work to God and get on with the work. And so it would seem that in verses 4 and 5, they're on their faces before God. You know, it's a simple thing to notice this, because when you come into the New Testament, to the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find that when the early apostles began their work, and they were being persecuted by their enemies, when they were let go, they had a prayer meeting. And you'll find this in the Acts of the Apostles. They simply committed the work to God again and spread before Him the whole case, and they were strengthened and encouraged and went on again with the work. We're glad they did. And right here in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, here is the same principle laid before us. When the enemy was seeking to overthrow the work, these people simply committed the work to God and left it entirely with God to help them and to deal with their enemies. You know, that is the best way to do it. God knows exactly how to deal with those that oppose His people and oppose His principles. And so in verses 4 and 5, they're committing the work to God. And when we come to verse 6, I suggest that verse 6 is the key verse of the whole chapter. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Here then, I suggest, they are continuing in the work. The work must go on. Now, I like to think, when I read verse 6, it tells us how much of the work was completed here. They were building the wall, and you will remember, every man worked at his own place. Every man had his own particular job to do, and it's obvious that they were all doing it. For it says, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. And here's the reason. For the people had a mind to work. I like that statement. I sometimes think that in every office and in every factory, yes, and when it comes to spiritual things, in every church, every local church, if this was the grand motto, for the people had a mind to work, then things would be accomplished. Show me the country today where the people have a mind to work. Show me the church today where all the members have a mind to work. Now show you groups that are making some progress. There will always be progress when the people have a mind to work. But I want you to notice this now very carefully. If the enemy couldn't stop the work by criticizing first the workmen, then criticizing the work, in spite of that, the work is going on. They're continuing in the work. The moment that happens, you find now you're faced with a conspiracy. The enemy is not going to give up in an easy manner. Verse 7 says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, now notice now, there are others who are joining forces with them. The enemy forces appear to be increasing. And when they heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. They were angry. And they're getting ready now to come against those that are building the walls. Those that are working for God are going to be faced with strong opposition. Here is a conspiracy, verse 8. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Here is now a conspiracy against the work. You can rest assured, my friend, that if the devil doesn't win by criticizing God's people and criticizing the work they're doing, you can rest assured there will be a conspiracy now, and all the enemies will join their forces in order to fight against the people of God and fight against the things of God and the work that is being accomplished. Now, what do you do when the enemies join forces in order to frustrate the work and frustrate the workers? These people know that they're doing the work of God. Well, now, here I suggest to you that in verse 9, we have the thought of their confidence in God. Verse 9 says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Now, here are two principles joined together in verse 9 that should come as an encouragement for every Christian worker. I suggest over verse 9 we learn the truth of having confidence in God to help the work and to help the worker. But there must be the perfect balance. First of all, they made their prayer. That's one thing. But then they set the watch. They're praying and they're watching as well as working. Now, might I suggest it's possible to get out of balance here. It's possible that we forget to pray. But it's possible to engage in prayer and forget to watch. It's possible to pray and watch and forget to work. But you'll find here that these people not only prayed and watched, but they worked. But I like to think that nevertheless we made our prayer unto our God. You see, here was their confidence in God. They realized that their God was stronger than the enemy, that he who was for them was greater than he who was against them. So therefore again they have a prayer meeting, and they take time to present their case before God. First of all, they were criticized. Then there was the conspiracy that was against them in order to frustrate the whole thing. But now these people very definitely lay the case before God. But while they prayed, they're also going to watch. And he set a watch against them day and night. Not only during the working hours, but day and night people had to be on the guard, on the watch, watching for the enemy. But I want you to notice now the condition of the workers. Verse 10 says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." Now I suggest here are three things we've got to notice now about the condition of the workers. You know, to keep on working at times isn't easy. In the old days, workers had to work long hours. Yes, we did 60 hours one week and 66 the next week. These were days when you worked long hours. Today we have conditions prevailing where they're trying to narrow down and narrow down. They think that 40 hours a week is long enough and some want a lot less. But there were days when people had to work long hours. And you know, when you work long hours, it can wear you down. Here he says, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. I notice now they're marked by feebleness, sure enough. The body was beginning to wear down. You know, sometimes as you engage in work, whether it be manual labor or work for the Lord, work in your local church, you find that you get tired. There's a feebleness. You don't get tired off the work, but you get tired in the work. And then there's faint-heartedness. He says, there's so much rubbish to be moved, we're not able to do all the work. It's heavy work to get rid of the rubbish. And then we've got to prepare the new material for building. And so they got faint-hearted. They said, we are not able to build the wall. Now what do you do when workers get into a condition like this? It needs somebody to stir them up. They need to be encouraged. They need to be fortified in spirit. They need to be helped. Then they go a little further and they say, what about our adversaries? Do you know they've said that they're going to watch for us and they're going to come upon us? Because many of these workers worked at the city walls, then they went out to their little dwelling places on the hillsides when the day's work was finished. But they said, the enemy's watching for us. They're watching for us as we return from all places, and they'll be upon us. So what are we going to do? Now that brings us then to a very interesting thing. And the closing verses of this chapter show us something about the conflict in the work. The enemy on one side and the workers on the other. Now may I suggest in verse 14 there are two things. First of all, there is remembrance and there is reflection. Notice what he says. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles. Now he goes to the leaders first, speaks to the nobles and to the rulers. And he hits all the rest of the people. And he says, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord. May I suggest, here is the greatest encouragement that can be given to those who are growing feeble and faint-hearted and being overdriven, as it were, with fear. He says, be not afraid. Remember the Lord. Bring those things to remembrance. Think of what the Lord has done in the past. Think of how he delivered your forefathers. Think of how he has looked after us as a nation. Now he said, remember the Lord. And reflect on these things. Fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. There's to be remembrance of what God has done. Reflection on what has been done. Think of these things. Verse 15. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. That's a kind of revival again. It was a revival within a revival. You see, it was a revival when they started to build. Now they're growing faint-hearted, and they're beginning to withdraw from the work. But there's a kind of revival here, and everyone had to return unto his work. I ask you in all fairness, as you listen to me today, don't you think it's about time that Christians were being stirred up to become active again in the things of the Lord? That what you used to do, my friend, why did you cease doing it? Let us return to the work. Let every man be to his job. The work must go on. Verses 16 through 23 speaks of readiness. First of all, we have to be ready for the work. Verse 17, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Here he was ready for the work. Every man was ready. Some were doing one kind of job and some were doing the other. There were those who bore the burdens, the laborers, and then there were those that knew how to build. They were experienced men. They did the building. There were those who had to mix the mortar. There were those who had to carry it. But everyone was working, and he wrought in the work with his hands. And then, with his other hand, he held the weapon, ready to guard what he was building. He wasn't going to let the enemy destroy the work that he was doing. And then they were ready for warfare, according to verse 18. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. They were ready to defend it, ready for warfare. But then they were ready for warning. For wherever the trumpet was blown, they would rush there to defend that part of the building and stand shoulder to shoulder with their fellow workers. Verse 22, so we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Whole day they were at it. Likewise at the same time said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem. So it meant they weren't going out to their little resting places, their homes out on the hillside. They were going to rest at the work. Take the rest there and work there. Here was self-sacrifice. The work must go on, no matter what the sacrifice may be. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saying that everyone put them off for washing. There was sacrifice, and the work had to go on, and we'll find perhaps in our next study that the wall was finished.